there's a good reason so many people head for the shore for a little R&R. Coming up in the hour ahead, Jay Nichols explains the science he's uncovered behind the positive effect of being around water. And author Don Wallace takes us inside his city, Honolulu, with tips for things to enjoy like the locals do when your sunburn tells you you've had enough time at the beach. And while it's built on cattle and oil, Robert Reed joins us now to tell us how Oklahoma City's looking mighty pretty lately, with an expanding arts and culture scene to complement its status as a big league basketball and soccer town. Robert writes as the offbeat observer for National Geographic Traveler, and he joins us now on Travel with Rick Steves to explain how Oklahoma City is becoming a popular visitor destination. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
So, Oklahoma City, it's not high on a lot of people's lists, but people who go there really are charmed by it. What is it about Oklahoma City that makes it worth considering if we're traveling?
Well, it is in the way of a lot of road trips because, of course, Route 66 goes through there. Three interstates cut through there. So a lot of people find themselves going through Oklahoma City, whether they plan to or not. And what's happened is I grew up in Tulsa, first of all. Mm-hmm. And so Tulsa is in the eastern part of the state. And we used to grow up thinking, gosh, so lucky we don't live in Oklahoma City. Tulsa is this green, it's got hills, it had art, you know, it had foreign movies and Thai food, and it felt like this sophisticated cultural city, whereas Oklahoma City, the capital, was kind of a cow town. It's where the plains open up, it gets brown, it's windier, there's not as many trees, it's flatter. And so what's happened is Oklahoma City in the last 20 years gradually and with increasing energy has just redefined itself. They've passed a series of like these sales taxes that is manifested in all kinds of things that has brought this energy that you find in like in an Austin or a Portland, Oregon or something around its downtown and neighborhoods around it. So people finding, you know, surprising food, surprising kind of shopping and coffee and activities are finding a lot to stay in Oklahoma City. You get off the interstate for 2, 5, 6 hours a day or two, there's plenty to do. Whereas seriously, 15, 20 years ago, it was a completely different scenario.
Now, you mentioned new sales taxes, meaning they had some money to invest in the city. This just seems almost like a contradiction in Oklahoma, but is it actually, what's an example? They've taxed their locals so they can have a nicer city. How does that work out?
It is surprising. There's no doubt about it. I mean,
is it generally recognized as a smart idea?
Yeah, it's been very popular. In fact, Tulsa has followed suit. In 1993, they started what was called MAPS, and they're these sales tax initiatives of a 1 cent sales tax. That's led to, you know, moving the art museum from a remote area into this kind of art deco type space downtown and having a new library and developing the brick town and putting a dome on the Capitol building. There was never a dome on it. They kind of forgot to build it when it was originally built. All kinds of things like a new history museum and the North Canadian River now has water in it and bike lanes and a yacht club. All kinds of things that have happened through that sales tax. So they've done three of those initiatives that's totaled about $1.5 billion. So it's been quite a big thing that has led to all of this. And it's just kind of manifested itself into new energy, bringing new energy into having these revitalized neighborhoods, not just one or two, but like half a dozen. And so this whole vast area around downtown where the interstates meet is now a place that people actually go to after hours where it never was before.
It sounds like a success story. And if you haven't been to Oklahoma in a couple decades, it's time to check it out again.
It really is. I mean, I think that a lot of people, it does have this notion of the cow town. It has a huge stockyards, which are still there a little west of downtown. You go on Monday and Tuesday, you walk over these planks over this sea of cows and into this bidding auction, and guys with cowboy hats and these 1976 phones at their chairs are watching this little amphitheater as the cows come through. It's really fun. You can get like cobbler and sit there if you don't mind the smell of cows. So there's elements of the cowboy culture that are still there. The Cowboy Hall of Fame is in Oklahoma City. It's probably the, you know, in some ways the most enduring and beloved attraction. But what you see is these kind of neighborhoods where you have these, you know, coffee roasters and architect firms and different food truck zones.
Robert, before we get into the trendy Oklahoma City, I'm intrigued by the livestock part. So let's go to trendy in a minute. But what a great idea. Because, I mean, of course, I mean, it's great that Oklahoma City has bike lanes now and fancy coffee, coffee shops. But the largest livestock market in the world. So that is wide open for tourists and visitors, and you can complement that with a visit to the Cowboy Hall of Fame?
Yes. The stockyards, a couple miles southwest of downtown, you go there, there's a cattleman's steakhouse where you can try, you know, the Rocky Mountain oysters or calf fries, as they call them there, if you so choose, a part of the cow that some of people have never tried. There's a lot of Westernware shops, but the stockyards themselves is this kind of small building with that you literally walk on planks over the cows waiting in pens to be sold there. And it's like Monday and Tuesday mornings usually that you go there, and it is, you're just free to walk in, get some cobbler, sit. You know, be careful, because if you get carried away, you may end up with a cow.
First, you'll have some nicely cooked testicles, and then
yes.
you'll have the smell of all these cows going to the slaughterhouse below you, and then you'll have your cobbler.
Yeah, the cobbler's the chaser. Testicles
the chaser.
Are the starter.
That sounds fun. Okay, so that's your traditional. And by the way, Oklahoma City is one of the younger cities around, isn't it?
Well, Oklahoma City was settled overnight in 1889. You know, there's the Oklahoma land rush, and there was a series of land rushes where they just opened it up. Oklahoma, what's interesting is that it was unclaimed for a while. It was Indian territory for a while, then Oklahoma territory, when everything around it was a state.
Yeah.
So you think about how unusual the U.S. shape was at that time, because it's a panhandle shape, so it was very kind of cavity in the country, essentially. But
it was one of the most interesting experiences in my American travels. I was just at the border of Oklahoma on the east. Is it Fort Wayne there or something?
And Fort Smith.
Fort Smith, yeah. And there's a bridge, and the big deal there is the land rush in 1889. And I can just picture all the people there, and they blew the whistle, or they set off the firecracker or whatever, and 10,000 settlers just scrambled into the west and staked out the free land in Oklahoma, and bam, you've got yourself a settled state.
Yeah, there was a series of those kind of land rushes, and one was that created Oklahoma City. I mean, some people went by bicycles. Can you imagine that? You know, going around a bicycle in 1889. But some people broke the rules and went a day earlier. So they went sooner than they were supposed to. And that's why Oklahoma's called the Sooner State. Essentially, the criminals that broke the rules on the land
Sooners.
Rush is what the nickname's for.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Travel writer Robert Reed's making a return appearance with us right now on Travel with Rick Steves to tell us how Oklahoma City is becoming a major league destination. You'll find links to his latest travel articles and a message board for posting your own travel observations in the radio section of ricksteves.com. Oklahoma has the largest Native American population per capita, I believe, in the country. What impact does that have on your sightseeing? Are there ways we can check into Native American culture?
Absolutely. There has been a long talk of Oklahoma City having a Native American museum there, and the biggest Native American powwow is there in summer called Red Earth. And other places to go, I'm a big fan of going to the Osage Nation, which is Osage County in the northeastern part of the state. It's near Bartlesville, where Phillips 66 was based. There was a lot of oil there. And the Osage Hills are a really beautiful area. Bob Wills, who's a Western swing star in the 30s and 40s in Tulsa, sung about the Osage Hills. Hmm. And you can go there to Pawhuska and go through a little museum there and take scenic rides around there. Another place is Tahlequah, which is kind of the center of the Cherokee Nation, which came on the Trail of Tears, kind of a sad story in the 19th century. But they have a museum and a cultural center and some events that is around Tahlequah in the eastern part of the country. There are a lot of ways to engage with Native American culture in Oklahoma, but those are two standouts. You know, I've gone time and time again when I've gone back.
So we've got Native American sites, we've got cowboy culture, we've got trendy, the new Oklahoma that's come about after its decision to raise a little money and invest in the city. And, of course, we've got the very powerful memorial for the bombing in 1995. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's near the area that is Midtown, where a lot of changes are happening now in Oklahoma City. And the bombing was in 1995. And the memorial there is really quite a moving site, where they have the frame of the former Alfred P. Murrow building kind of framed, and then you have chairs representing all of the victims there. It's a very somber site. It's really amazing and powerful to go at night when it's lit up, and it really just kind of glows, and you just kind of can't forget it. I think they did a wonderful job with that. But that is in the heart of the Midtown area, just north of downtown. That is, I mean, they're talking about right now, they've signed on to do a trolley that will go around. It's to me shocking to imagine public transportation of that kind in Oklahoma, but it's going to be there by 2017, which is connecting these areas with these like salons and condos and boutique hotels and food truck centers. So that whole Midtown area where that memorial is has drastically changed in the last few years and will continue to the next couple.
Oklahoma City is rated as a highly walkable city. What does that mean?
I guess it depends on where you're walking and who's rating it. But in terms of these neighborhoods of like Bricktown and Deep Deuce and downtown and Midtown, this is all in like a 2-square-mile area where there is a lot in terms of restaurants and shops and museums and attractions and festivals and all kinds of things that are happening. That's a walkable area. Mm-hmm. When you get, you know, the city is big. It's almost as big as like Los Angeles. It used to be like the second biggest in area in the country. So there are areas that are, it'd be a long walk. But I think why it rates high is because of the concentration of activity in that area right off the interstate.
And when I visited, the first place my host took me was to the arena where our Supersonics are now playing basketball for Oklahoma City. And they were very proud of that. They made sure that I knew that. They were doing great in Oklahoma City.
Sorry. You know, you don't like to see a team get robbed for another, but they have been such a, you know, to be honest, Oklahoma City sees that as an endorsement and they call themselves Big League City now.
Ah,
and it's
right.
Like, oh my gosh, this is an endorsement that we're real deal.
So it's a big league city. It can support a big league team and it's doing well. I understand.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And there's the Route 66 connection, which we can, when we visit Oklahoma City, we can tie in.
Route 66, the most surviving miles of original Mother Road is in Oklahoma. And so there's a lot of ways to get on the two-lane road between Tulsa and Oklahoma City is a particularly scenic and wonderful part of it. When it goes through Oklahoma City, by the way, it goes through the heart of the so-called Asian district. The biggest Asian population in Oklahoma is the Vietnamese community, and they're centered in that area of Oklahoma City, now called Uptown a little bit. Mm-hmm. So if you follow Route 66 into Oklahoma City, you'll pass this big milk bottle that was there to give milk to people on Route 66 as they got in the city. That's now a Vietnamese sandwich place. And there's like about a dozen pho, beef noodle soup houses around there. I've lived in Vietnam, and the Vietnamese food in Oklahoma City is very authentic and very surprising. I would say they give a better and more authentic and tasty, you know, style of pho than I got in New York City, for example.
Right.
So it's a good place to get some Vietnamese food.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been speaking with Robert Reed. And look for Robert's article on Oklahoma City and National Geographic Traveler. And Robert's website is reedontravel.com, R-E-I-D on travel.com. Robert Reed, thanks so much. And I've been to Oklahoma City a couple of times, but with what we've learned in the last few minutes, I want to go back there. It sounds like it's just a city that is really a happening place and well worth checking out.
Be sure to try the testicles.
Even if you don't have an oceanfront view, there are plenty of ways being around the water can ease your state of mind. We'll explore that in just a bit. Up next, an insider's view on what's new in Honolulu. We're at 877-333-RICK on Travel with Rick Steves.